Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau, and I want to welcome you back to another episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Folks, today's guest is probably one of my favorites, not just because she's a great person to interview, but I can relate to her story on so many levels, and she gets what I talk about with her concerning my story. Statistics say that one in three people, over 116 million people just in the United States, suffers daily with chronic pain. Now, let me begin by briefly relating what happened to me. Many of you know the story, so I'll keep it brief, but I was injured on May 13, 2007. I was a police officer working an accident scene in a pretty good rainstorm, and I ended up being injured as well. And it took almost 10 months for them to decide just to do the knee surgery to try and fix the problem. But the damage had already been done, and the surgery didn't work, and the pain level in my legs and back increased to the point where it was even difficult to walk. I ended up having to retire. I guess that's a good thing, because otherwise I wouldn't be doing what we're doing today. Amen. But over the last 11 years since my injury, I've had over 27 different procedures, which includes several surgeries, and nothing works. I'm scheduled to undergo another procedure for my knee at the end of this month. Oh, joy. And the doctors can only guess at why nothing they try works. And that's why it's called medical practice. Amen. Now, let me introduce you to our guest today. Former model and cheerleader Barbie Engel seemed to have it all going for her. Then her life changed, and it all became about surviving chronic pain. Doctors did not have a clue as to what was wrong, and after getting stuck, prodded, examined numerous times, and boy, I can relate to that too, she decided it was time for her to take charge. And today we're going to hear her story. Barbie, I want to welcome you back onto the program today. Thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to come on the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad to be back, and I'm glad to be sharing. And I've been following your story as well. And I think that you're on the right track. And I've been saying prayers for you. And
oh, thank you.
You're going to get some relief. I see it coming.
Amen. I'm in agreement. Praise God. Now, the first question that I'll ask is so that we can catch up in case we have new listeners that have not heard your story before. But tell us, who is Barbie Engel?
Oh, goodness. Well, I am so many things, but one of the main things that I believe is my purpose from God is to be a cheerleader of hope. Amen. And I always knew I was going to be a cheerleader, but going through my own medical challenges in life and actually having a near-death experience back in 2003, I saw from God that my purpose was to be a cheerleader and to help other people navigate the health system and understand that in life we don't have to stress the small stuff. Don't stress over it. Let it go. Let go of the anxiety. God's got us, and we are going to be better people for believing, for using good actions in life, mm-hmm. and being the best human being that we can be. And we are all here for a specific purpose. So find mm-hmm. your purpose and live it.
Amen. Now, what happened? I mean, tell us how your life was impacted from what it was to what it became.
Sure. I was graduated college, and I was living my dreams. I was the head cheer and dance coach at Washington State University. I also owned my own cheerleading and dance training company, and was doing competitions, hosting competitions for high school kids, scholarship competitions, and I literally got to live my life, but I was not actually living. I was taking life for granted.
Yeah.
And didn't realize how good I had it, and thought that I had enough of God for everybody in my life. And like, I didn't need to go to church. I didn't need to worship. Mm. I didn't need to pay attention to all the big things in life.
Yeah.
I was micromanaging my life instead of macromanaging my life. Mm. And, I was in a car accident, and that 7 seconds, 8 seconds changed my life. Mm-hmm. And I started going through challenges, experiencing severe chronic pain and lost partial vision and balance and coordination issues, which I was a competitive gymnast in middle school and high school doing balance beam. And all of a sudden I was having trouble walking in a straight line. I ended up in a wheelchair for 7 years. Mm. And it took me 43 doctors to get a proper diagnosis.
Wow.
And each doctor looked at their specialty and worked on what, you know, if they were looking at my lungs, they mm-hmm. worked on my lungs. If they were looking at my heart or my intestines or even my nerves, there's certain nerve tests, as you know, there's yep. certain nerve tests that you can do to test large nerve fibers, which is what most doctors test for, is large nerve fiber injuries. And if you have small nerve fibers, that large nerve fiber testing that they do isn't going to show anything.
It comes back normal.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yep. And so they would just say that my pain was idiopathic, and they had no idea mm-hmm. what was going on, and maybe it's in my head.
Yep.
And and I knew I would not give up the life that I had. I was living my dream, and when I had my full lung collapse, my lung was laying on my heart, and I went into cardiac arrest, and my life flashed before me in a series of pictures and of my life and things that you don't know matter, like holding a door for somebody or asking somebody if they're okay, stepping in if you see a child locked in a car, mm-hmm. things that I didn't know mattered in the whole series of this life here on earth.
Yeah.
It showed me that the little things didn't matter and the big things did matter, but everything was strung together and everything had a purpose and a reason behind it, even if you can't see it at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Now that brings us up to your foundation, the International Pain Foundation. And you have numerous support services and resources for people to obtain and help them to find help for their conditions. Can you just go over a few of the most popular resources?
Sure. For education, we have disease-specific information, support links for support groups. We have webinars for awareness. We have our chronic awareness projects like iPainPop. We have RSD awareness quilts that are made by patients that have reflex sympathetic dystrophy. And they each make a square, and they send them in, and we sew them into panels, and then we display those panels in doctors' offices and at legislative buildings around the United States. We've had people from 14 different countries, and all 50 states participate in that program.
Wow.
We do our iPain Living magazine. Mm-hmm. And we have other community events and supports. Recently, we had a circus that gave us 25 tickets to give away to patients and their families so that they could have a free outing and have a good day at the circus with their mm-hmm. families.
Cool.
And then we've also done things like rent out movie theaters and done like special premieres for pain patients and their families. And then we do Access to Care, which is working on policy efforts and as well as peer-to-peer mentoring and other resources like our app and many different things going on. But our biggest project is called Nervember, and mm-hmm. we're going to talk about that a little more. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. An annual event.
Yes.
So, okay, now, one of the things that you talk about, and you've discussed it with us before, I just want to briefly go over it again, is becoming the chief of staff of your medical team. And Lizzie, you shared this last time, and you know, we briefly discussed a few minutes ago that how I came to the point this year where I had, like you, I'd been stuck, prodded, and all these different things so many times, I had finally had enough. I was sick and tired of the procedures that they were just repeating over and over, hoping for different results. And, you know, the look on the doctor's faces because it wasn't working, it wasn't one of concern. It was more one of, how come I can't figure this out? And when one told me, well, I guess we'll just treat the symptoms with pain medication, you have to get used to living with it. That hit me wrong. And that's I heard you talk about becoming the chief of staff of your own medical team, so I started looking for another doctor. And as I said, I decided to go for the best that I could find in the area, which is Johns Hopkins Medical Center, and I found their chief neurologist, and he's not just over the Hopkins Hospital, he's over all the associated hospitals, the college and all that. But I reached out and found out I had to submit copies of my medical treatment records to him, and he'd make a decision on whether or not he wanted to see me. I got a phone call within just a few days saying that he definitely wanted to see me. And I had to undergo a couple other procedures, and one was a skin biopsy to check for the small nerve fibers. I'd never, in 11 years of going through all of this other stuff, I've never had anybody even mention the small nerve fibers before. And so that was done. I follow up next week to see what the results of that at the time of this recording. But Barbie, I followed your advice, and it seems to be working great, becoming the chief of staff for your own self. Now, go ahead.
It really can change your life and get you on the right path. When you decide to be responsible for yourself and stand up for yourself and ask for the care that you deserve, ask for the care that you need, and be an active participant in that care. Don't just sit back and let other people decide what the best thing for you is. And if a doctor offers you something and you don't feel comfortable, do what it takes to decide, yes, I'm going to be okay with this, no matter the outcome, or no, I'm going to stand up for myself and I'm going to go and research and look and see, is there something else I can do? Can I find out about three other treatment options to bring back and discuss with the doctor? Why would you suggest what you suggested over these other three options? Which is the least invasive? You know, what is this going to do? Okay, this might help me for a month, but in 2 years, is it going to have ramifications that I don't see coming?
Absolutely.
Because the doctors, they will know. If they can get the right questions from you as the patient, and you take charge and be responsible for yourself and for your care, they can help you better.
Yeah, amen. And we have so much information right at our fingertips through the internet today. And right. I mean, I got on there and just started, you start with where you're at, okay? Lower leg pain, and then it'll start all these different symptoms. You plug it in, it gives you, you don't want to become your own medical doctor, but it'll give you, 20 or 30 different things it could be.
Exactly. And, the person that is usually the CEO of a hospital is not necessarily a doctor. They're usually a business person.
Yeah, that's right.
You have to be your own leader, and you know your body the best. If you, what you're telling the doctor is, my leg is on burning fire pain, or I can't feel my leg at all, or my foot keeps dropping and I trip on it, or both. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Whatever it is, and the doctor isn't getting it, you might be at the wrong doctor.
Yeah.
It's important to keep in mind that each doctor has their own specialty. And so if you don't get the right answers from the doctor, or the doctor says, this is all I can do for you, all I can offer you is pills, or all I can offer you is surgery, it might not be the right doctor. If there's not a mechanical issue with the part of your body that's having trouble, then surgery might not be the right thing to do.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And when either being bound, well, I can't help, I'm going to send you over to this guy. And, then you go through the process, making the, new patient appointment. Okay. And 3 weeks, a month goes by, you oversee them. Okay, well, I'm going to order this test and go get it done, make an appointment, come back and say, there's another month and a half that goes by before you see him again. And like, well, this says that, you're normal in all these different aspects. How you feel today? I mean, it's like, this just comes and goes instead of, it's here all the time.
It's chronic.
24 hours a day,
Right.
And
right.
Yes, go ahead.
You make some great points. What I would do if I was going to a new doctor, I would first say, I would like to be on the waiting list. So if somebody else cancels, I'll come in sooner. Mm-hmm. Make that known that you will come in sooner. You don't have to wait 3 weeks or 4 weeks for an appointment. And, you know, I'll, you know, tell them I need 2 hours notice or 1 hour or 4 hours or whatever it is. You know, be honest about how much notice you need so that if they do call, you're more than likely able to go early.
Right.
But also say, what type of test for this type of pain would you normally ask for? Can we get those ordered ahead of time so I can discuss them at the first appointment?
Yep, absolutely. That's what I did with this doctor at Hopkins. They said, okay, yeah, he wants to see you, and he can see you on this day. And I asked that question. I said, what kind of tests is he going to – well, when you get here, he's going to order, you know, these two tests, and then he'll probably also order this biopsy thing. I said, well, can we do that before I come in and see him? Yeah, I could order those for you, you know. You know, I mean, here it would be a month to go in and see this guy, maybe almost 6 weeks, and then he'd order the test and he scheduled the test. I mean, I'd be looking at almost Christmas before I got back in there, you know.
Exactly.
So this way, they were done, and before I even see him for the first time, and he'll have the results when I get there. But that's what you have to do, folks. Take charge. Don't just like she said. Don't just take the doctor's word for, well, this is what we can do. Well, if that's all you can do, I need to go see somebody else, you know?
Exactly.
And the one thing that we keep running into is and you see a lot of this now, they're talking about the opioid crisis.
Right.
But why is it they just want to feed you pills, Barbie? Why don't they? You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I've been on pain meds for the last 11 years, but I try not to take them every day. And some days, as we were talking about, some days are worse than others. I don't know if it's just the atmosphere or weather change or, you know, maybe you slept wrong. But, you know, sometimes they are activity related. Like if you have to walk around the grocery store, I dread that.
But
I really dread the mall. Oh, God. I'll take my wife to the mall and say, I'll meet you at Starbucks. I just sit there. That gets me out of the shopping aspect, but also I can't walk that much. That's just too much for me. But why is it they just want to feed you pills all the time? I mean, yeah, I balked at the idea that that was going to be my new normal, to be high all the time. What can a person do if that's what their doctor's trying to do?
Well, you have to find a good balance of treatment, and you need to go to doctors that are willing to give you treatment options, and it's typically more than one treatment is needed. So if the doctor's only offering you medication, it's probably not the right doctor. It's easy, quick in and out, write a script and you're gone. At the same time, If you're newly diagnosed or you're experiencing new symptoms, you want to know, like, is acupressure going to help? Is there anything non-invasive that could help? Is there epidural blocks or energy healing or hydrotherapy or trigger point injections or Calmir? There's so many different treatment options. Even I use one called an oral orthotic. I also use posture apparel. Without my oral orthotic or the posture apparel, and I also do ketamine infusion therapy a couple times a year now. But my posture apparel and my oral orthotic are daily treatments that I use. Yeah. And without them, I would have to take pain medication every single day.
Yeah.
But because I found other options, and yes, up front, they're more expensive, but over time, they're less expensive. You know, for insurance companies, for them, they're like, it's easy to pay for medications. It's like the easy thing to do. Not just opioids, but any, you know, Lyrica, Dilantin, Neurontin. Those are easy things for them to pay for. And it keeps the patient numbed up mentally.
Yeah.
So that they don't request other treatments and such, but we want to, as a patient, we want to get back to living life.
Right.
And using multimodality treatments is going to be the best thing that we can do for ourselves. Even if you are only on opiates, you've got to add other things in, mindfulness and even increasing your water, eating properly, exercising appropriately for your condition. And and by exercise, I don't mean go try to run a marathon or even lift weights. I mean, walk to your mailbox and back. Start with 1 minute of walking a day. You know, build up to 2 minutes, build up to 3 minutes. But know that, like you said, you're going to have good days and bad days. You're going to have flares. You can't always predict when the flares are going to come. The weather changes with the barometric pressure could cause you to have a flare. But recognizing those things in life that cause you flares can also help you lower the need for other treatment options and medications, because you'll know, I'm going to get through this. This storm is moving in, and once it moves back out, I'm going to have some good time, or a better time than I was having with the storm pressure coming down on you.
Yeah, amen. And I can tell when we go somewhere, be it a grocery store or whatever, I can tell just from riding in the car how it's going to be when I get there. And, you know, I'm not shy about pulling out the cane and you know, using the cane. And then anytime I'm at the grocery store, or Target or Walmart or whatever, we always get a basket so I can lean on the basket and take some of the pressure off the feet.
Yeah, it kind of acts like a walker.
It does. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you're camouflaging it a little bit.
Right. Well, exactly. And so, I was just going to say, a lot of people are, when you said you use your cane, they say, oh, I don't want to show that I'm weak in public, or I don't want to use a wheelchair or a cane or assistive device. But, you know, it can give us more life to use those assistive devices. Mm-hmm. And it could cut back on the amount of chemicals that we need to put into our body to give ourselves brain fog so we don't care. Yeah. You know, it could give us more life. It could give, those tools are there to give us a better life. Even there's a big debate about straws. I don't know if you've heard about the
straws, but drinking straw.
Yes, drinking straws. There's a part of California that passed a law to ban distribution of drinking straws. But for a disabled person who has trouble with balancing coordination, a straw is very important. It's a tool that we need. Like, I use a straw. And I use plastic cups and straws. The plastic cup, if I drop it, because I tend to drop things. It's not glass breaking.
Yep.
So I use a lot of Solo cups, especially. And then I also use a straw so I don't have to tip my head back, because every time you tip your head back, you're cutting off the cerebral fluid from your spine to your brain. Mm. And so drinking with a straw helps people that are disabled and have neuroinflammation in their spine live better, get less dizzy, have less falls. So straws are very important, and to have them banned is like, what the heck's going on? The people don't understand that disabled people, it's a tool for us.
Yeah. So what do you got to do? Like, order some on Amazon?
Bring your straws with you if you go to California.
Wow. Which
I do. I do keep straws in my glove box, because sometimes, like, if you go through a drive-thru, they forget to give you a straw. So I keep extra straws in there. But at home, I have my own supply of straws. I even made a baggie for when I go visit my father-in-law to have a straw with my drink. And I leave a baggie of straws over there to make sure that I'm always taken care of. It's just, again, a tool in life that normal people that don't have a chronic condition affects them in these ways. Yep. They don't understand why this tool is helpful. But if you need the tool, use the tool.
Yeah, amen. And that's the point. The smallest things in life that people don't even think about mean a lot to somebody who's hurting. I mean, banning straws. Of all the legislation they could have passed.
Exactly. And we're like, wait, what is going on? You know, and they ended up doing this other, like, Starbucks put out this plastic. And the whole purpose of banning the straws was because it creates a lot of plastic waste. Mm-hmm. Well, they ended up getting these plastic toppers for their cups at Starbucks that are more plastic than it would have been to have a straw.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. So the ban is actually hurting, but yeah. It's especially hurting people with disabilities that need a straw as their life tool.
Maybe they'll make straws a prescription thing, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
So but the insurance company can charge, you know, $200 for a dozen straws.
They would do that too, wouldn't they?
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Bob. Unfortunately, we are all out of time for today's episode of this interview. It was so interesting interview with Barbie Engel. You know, Barbie, I had her on last year, and the response was so positive. And I wanted to reach out and get her back so we could talk again about November month. Her quest to help others who are suffering from pain is so helpful. It's helped me. And I want to be able to support her, and that's why I'm sharing these interviews with you. Come back tomorrow because we get into some specific questions, you know, especially if you're suffering pain and you're trying to tell your doctor about and they're looking at you like, come on, really? You know, you get that look. That's what we're going to start off with, that question tomorrow for Barbie Engel. And then we're going to get into some specifics about November month, how it started, and different things that are going on that month, and how you can become part of it, how you can support her organization, internationalpainfoundation.org. And we want to help her promote the public awareness and the public perception of those who are suffering from, especially from nerve pain. That's the point of the foundation's efforts in November. So come back tomorrow. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.